I can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
At 8:08, good morning. I'm Larry Long, and we are back with another edition of Bird Watch, sponsored by Waddell's Nursery, Floral Garden, and Bird Center at the corner of 12th Street and Millam Road, also by the River Lake Inn, located near Colon. And once again, here's your host for Bird Watch, the jovial Roger Taylor. Morning, Rog.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Real good. Beautiful morning.
Oh, boy. Sun's out.
No humidity.
And cooler temperatures on the way. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward
to deal with that easily.
Next week's polar vortex.
Oh, I actually am.
That's not really a polar vortex. No. I hate to be a perfectionist, going to be cool next week. Well, let's get going.
Trivia question. Trivia, let's do it.
This morning. How many falcon species are there in the world? We've heard a lot about the peregrine falcons that are nesting downtown on the American National Bank building, or whatever it's called. Whatever bank that is nowadays. But how many species of falcon are there in the world? And a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend and a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn, where if you take a friend with you for dinner, your meal is half price. Both of those prizes are yours if you can tell us how many species of falcon there are in the world. And you don't have to hit the exact number.
This is one of those questions. It's going to be more than I think it is.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's very many.
But
I got a feeling I'll be surprised. But we must be stumping people with it, though, today.
Because we don't have a lot of calls.
The phones aren't ringing.
And so let's say that if you hit the number within five, either way, you'll be a winner. How many species of falcon are there in the world? And this question is because one of our regular listeners, Grandpa John, lives up in Hope Center.
Yes, he does.
Sent me an email yesterday that he was fishing on Gull Lake and saw a peregrine falcon. He thinks perhaps one of the birds from downtown. I don't know. There may be more around, although there's not a lot of cliffs around Gull Lake.
No.
Yeah. But at any rate, he saw one out there, and that's what got me thinking, well, how many falcon species are there? And if you think you know, 382-4280-877-382-4280 is the number to call with the closest guess to the number of falcons species in the world.
All right. Well, let's see if Mike out in Matawan has the number or close enough for us. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning.
Got a guess?
Well, I'm going to guess around 60-ish.
Thanks for giving it a shot.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
All right. Well, let's see if Ed in Portage has our answer. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, Roger. Let's, 35.
We have a winner.
Wow.
37 is number. That does include kestrels,
definitely more than I thought.
A falcon. And we do see them here. But for coming that close, Ed, you get yourself a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend. The only place you can get that is at Waddell's. And you get a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn. And your meal or somebody else's meal is half price based on the fact you guessed 35 in the number of falcon species. And that's within two, well less than the five I set out with. And so hold on, Ed. We're going to send you back into our producer,
who... Roger, I have a quick question, too.
Make a long question.
No, a quick question. I have a question about piebald Lisbon robins.
Say again?
We have robins here that are partially, I think, piebald or white streaked.
Oh, partial albinism in robins is very common.
Okay.
They're one of the species most likely to have albinism in their background. Matter of fact, if you ever get to Vancouver, British Columbia, all of the robins there are partially albino because
really?
They're sort of cut off from the rest of the world by mountains. They have inbred enough that almost all of their robins are partially albino. I had a partial albino nest in the crook of my downspout for 5 years, and because she had some odd white feathers on her wings,
yeah.
I could tell her from other robins.
Oh, yeah.
The other bird that is partial to albinism are crows. And you do see it in grackles fairly commonly as well. I have had a grackle with odd white tail feathers for a couple of years. But that's a good question, Ed. Yeah, partial albinism in robins, fairly common.
Well, this is the second year, and I thought last year that's just a fluke. But now we got more of them.
Yeah. Well, and those that carry that gene tend to have offspring, and that's what happened in British Columbia. And so you may see more and more as time goes on.
Okay, thank you.
Don't rush away. We're going to send you back in to our producer, who will need some information, and as we say every week, dinner for you and the birds is on us. Thanks, Ed. You, too, can do dinner in a lot of places, but if you want to make it an experience, do dinner at the River Lake Inn in Colon. River Lake Inn is designed to satisfy your senses in so many ways, thanks to an incredible collection of trails, gardens, and wildlife. In fact, you'll want to make it more than just a meal. Be sure to allow extra time to stroll around the koi waterfall pond into the beautifully landscaped butterfly gardens and bluebird trail. You can visit Marv's well-stocked bird store at the same time. The food, well, we all know that's fabulous. And you can enjoy your meal in one of their three dining rooms, or with this kind of weather, enjoy it outside on the deck. July's fabulous features include the All-American Barbecue Baby Back Ribs, Shrimp Trio, and Bourbon Sirloin. Bourbon Sirloin. And they're all served with a choice of potato and a full salad bar. And be sure to save room for desserts like Anita's strawberry shortcake and a great selection of homemade pies. And don't overlook her carrot cake. I've had some personal upfront experience with that. And, oh, it's terrible. Don't do dinner. Do an experience at the River Lake Inn at 767 Ralston Road in Colon. Open Monday through Saturday, 4 to 10, and Sundays from noon to 8. Summer is one of the best times to enjoy the fun and enjoy a relaxing hobby of watching the beautiful birds that grace Southwest Michigan. And, of course, watching them bring their babies by your feeder. And birds prefer the superior quality seed that you'll always find at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. This week, four of birds' favorite foods are on sale. Attract a variety of beautiful birds with Waddell's Songbird Blend. 25-pound bag is just $11.49. And a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower only $20.99. Roger Taylor's exclusive blend is now just $15.79 for a 20-pound bag, and you can also take advantage of Waddell's Wild Bird Frequent Flyer program. Buy 12 bags of mixed seed and receive the 13th bag free. And you thought 13 was an unlucky number. Waddell's has over 100 varieties of bird feeders, including squirrel-proof feeders, window feeders, and more. Choose from dozens of styles that are sure to attract beautiful wild birds, hummingbirds, or orioles to your landscape. Birds are more likely to stay if you provide water for them as well. Waddell's selection of bird baths are both functional as well as beautiful, and they look great in your garden. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, Kalamazoo's bird feeding headquarters for 68 years. They're on Texas Drive at the corner of Millom and 12th Street. We've got open phone lines if you've got any bird questions this morning. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And if you've noticed hummingbird activity slowing down at your feeder, do not be concerned. Right now, there is a plethora of wildflowers blooming, and we've had just about the perfect amount of rain this year to keep everything blooming and doing just fine. And so your feeder has lots of natural competition, and feeders are just one of the places that birds get their food, and only about 10% of birds' food come from feeders, no matter how many feeders you've got out there in your yard. Feeders are just one of the places birds get their diet, and keeping your feeder full will keep them coming, and making sure your hummingbird nectar doesn't go bad during this time when activity is slow is pretty important. We're tempted to, as feeder activity slows down, lose interest in them. And as a result, you may lose them when they stop by your feeder and all they find is caca. And so that's a scientific term, Larry. That's the jargon we birders use for bad nectar.
Okay.
Caca.
Hey, look who's on the phone.
You mention him once, and he calls in. Grandpa John, how you doing this
morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm flattered, I guess.
How's things?
I've got a relatively different question, if I may, please.
Sure.
I've noticed with considerable visual observation of my barn swallows, once they get that first brood off, it seems to me they must run the young off, or it's an involuntary thing, because I always wind up on the second brood with about the same number of birds.
Yeah.
Because if all those young stayed, there'd be, 35, 40 of them out there.
And they would, take too much food out of
this. This is my thinking, but yeah. I was wondering if you would agree with that theory.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the reasons lots of birds drive off their offspring. Watch loons early in the spring when their young want to return to the same lake they were born on. And mama and papa loon want no part of that.
No, none at all.
once you're, you know, there's no boomerang children in the bird world. Once you fledge, you be gone. There's no coming back to move in because times got a little tough. You can't find enough food one day, and so you come home and look in Ma and Pa's refrigerator. Well, birds don't play that way. And no, I think you're on to something, Grandpa John. I think that one of the ways, you know, one of the reasons birds are territorial, period, is to have a food supply that they think is exclusively for their young. And they tend to be brood specific when they think about their young. And the older kids, you get out of here. Yeah. No, I think you're onto something.
Well, can I get just one more quick thing, or you got people waiting?
Nope. We got time.
Okay. You mentioned loons. I have been privileged to see the nest on Otis Lake a couple times.
Cool.
And, this is our 48th year here at the farm. So this was the early years that I lived here. I was privileged to be able to fish Wall Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find a loon nest there that would have been in the late 60s.
Okay.
But I have not, they stop over in their spring and fall migrations. But
yeah.
There it was. I was up in the shallows there in the south end. There's no buildings or anything down there.
Well, that's where they would be. And probably the reason they're not there now is how active the lake is.
Things have really changed.
There's way too much activity. Up your way, do you know, have the loons that nest on the north end of Fair Lake, are they there this year?
I have no reports. I have a classmate that lives there. I'll get a hold of him and he will tell me.
There you go. I know the people on that cove where the loons nest. I actually know the guy who puts out the platform for them. And they jealously guard their loon. You don't want to come into their end of the lake on a motorboat.
Oh, years ago, my grandparents, in between hay and then the grain harvest, they would go to Fair Lake and camp. I have pictures of my grandfather and his family and their camp there at Fair Lake.
Mm.
That was before cottages.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your thoughts this morning.
Well, thank you for letting me have the time.
Always good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Loons, there's a couple of the small bodies of water within Yankee Springs that have loons nesting in them. Fair Lake that pair of loons is certified as the furthest south nesting loons in the continental United States. And people on that lake jealously guard them. But some of the smaller lakes up in Yankee Springs have loons on them. And loon numbers have been in decline for some time. Part of it, at least in our part of the world, because of the activity on all of our lakes. But a part of their problem is they congregate on the big lakes prior to migration. And the last couple of years, there have been some botulism problems on Lake Erie that have taken a number of loons. And loons are a particularly long-lived lived bird, 20 years or longer. And the longer a bird has as life expectancy, then the later in life they begin breeding. And loons don't breed till they're 4 or 5 years old. And that's why loons have conflict with previous year's offspring when it comes to having a body of water exclusive for the mating pair. And they make no distinction between their offspring and any other loon. You are just another loon to those birds. Well, that's going to do it for Birdwatch this morning. Appreciate your tuning in. If you have questions during the week, and we had several this week, email is roger@wildbirdradio.com. You can also post your questions on my Facebook page, and especially if you have pictures, be sure to share them with people on Facebook. Well, that's going to do it for Birdwatch. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place.
All right, take care, Raj. Thanks for listening to this edition of Birdwatch, and join us again next Saturday morning at 8 for Birdwatch, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Floral Garden and Bird Center at the corner of 12th Street and Millam Road, and by the River Lake Inn near Colden. Coming up next, CBS and local news, then we'll go around the home with Greg Crawford on 590 WKZO.
I can't stand in line at the store. The mean little people are such a bore. But it's all right if you act like a turd, 'cause I like birds.